OMG, we're back with another podcast. Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Den podcast, Shawnee J and I welcome Michael Jones of OMG It's Lions Talk to the program. Then we take a look at the changes to the NFL's Rooney Rule. And we talk about the Lions linebacking core. All this and more coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Den podcast. Watch out. Here comes that roar. What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Den podcast. And as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
Good evening, good people.
And tonight, we have a special guest coming on the show from OMG It's Lions Talk podcast, my man, Michael Jones.
What's going on?
All right, my man, tell the people about your show and what you do over there at OMG, It's Lions Talk podcast.
Yeah, OMG, man, we try to keep it relevant, and we try to do podcasts, man, on just the things that we think are relevant issues and factors that we think can help the Lions out. Just try to keep everybody informed on what's going on.
All right, my man. Hey, thanks for coming on to the show and being a part of this week's Die Hard Den podcast, my dude. All right.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, how we always do it this time, it is time to tell me something good. And really this week, we have one big thing, and we're going to go into it more depth later. But the NFL okayed franchises to open up their team facilities. And that's going to be a big step in opening the season on time. But we'll get into the Lions' plans on that later in the show. But that's the only thing we really good got to talk about this week is the NFL saying, go ahead, teams. You know, right now you can go ahead and open, but there's some stipulations to that as well. But we'll get into that later. But one thing we want to do is we want to talk about the Lions' linebacker situation. So what I'm going to do, we're going to go over the Lions' linebackers we have on the squad right now, and you guys, meaning Mike and Sean, are going to tell me if those guys are going to make the squad or not, and what you think about their play at linebacker. So, first up,
how many linebackers we got? We got
10 linebackers on the squad right now.
Oh, wow,
a lot of linebackers on the squad right now, right?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah. Four got to go, at least four.
All right, first up. We got my man, Jamie Collins, big free agent signing, 6'3", 255 pounds. You know, what do you guys think about my man, Jamie Collins?
He's in.
Definitely he's in. Mike?
Oh, yeah. He's in. He's going to be the main focus of linebacker.
I think he may be the captain of that defense, of the linebacker court this year. All right, my man, Jared Davis, 6'1", 245.
He's in.
I think he's in.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think he's in by default.
I think this is the show me year for him. If he doesn't produce this year, they already declined his offer. So if he doesn't do what he needs to do this season, he might be somewhere else next season. All right, number three, Christian Jones. All right, 6'3", 250.
He's out.
Out.
Bye. Yeah, I'm kind of, man, he is borderline for me, man. I would say he's out, but I wouldn't be surprised he's stuck around because they like those big, thick linebackers.
Right.
And they just gave him an extension, 2-year extension last year.
Right. So, I met some of his family on a cruise last year. I mean, interesting, it was to meet some of his family. They had pictures of him. They were in Ford Field and everything. So, I mean, we'll see. All right, next up, new acquisition, Elijah Lee, 6'2", 230. Now, he's primarily a special teams player for his role on the defense as a linebacker.
I'm going to say he's out.
Okay. What you got, Mike?
I think he'll be a coverage linebacker. Yeah, because I look at his grading.
Mm-hmm.
He's graded highest on coverage of all our linebackers.
Right. His PFF score is the highest of all the coverage of the linebackers that the Lions have signed right now. Anthony Pittman, that's your guy from Wayne State. 6'3", 240. What you got, my man, on your guy, Anthony Pittman, out of Wayne State University?
That's my alma mater. You know, just like I love Drake Bell, but I'm going to say Pittman. He's going to be out for the practice squad guy.
Okay, practice squad. That's good. Now, here's another big name acquisition. Oh, I'm sorry. Mike, what you got on my man, Anthony Pittman?
I'm the same. I'm with Sean.
Practice squad?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think he's going to be a practice squad player. I think he's a developmental. And with the new relaxed rules with practice squad, he can be on the practice squad for a while and work his way into the 53-man roster kind of later on down the line. You know, they relax the rules. You can have players on the practice squad longer than just a couple years now.
So, before we go on, just piggyback off that. Quick question, sidebar.
Yeah, what you got?
With the coronavirus, you know, affecting, you can really look at talent and you have no off-season workouts like you normally would. Mm-hmm. Should they extend the roster to about 70 players, Mike? And you get both of you.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot of players, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, because you have to look at it. You have to pay all of them. Because you can't pay them practice squad wages. You have to pay them active roster salaries. I don't think the NFL will
give
them
minimum wage, if you will.
I mean, but that you really mess with your salary cap on that one. I mean, unless they relax the salary cap rules, I mean, they would have to adjust the salary cap rules to do that. I mean, if you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it would have to be an exception voted on by the owners. I don't think they're trying to come out of pocket like that. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you.
No, they're not. They're not at all.
Yeah, they ain't trying to come out of pocket like that, my dude. I mean, I'm just saying. All right. Next up, we have another big-name acquisition coming over from the Super Bowl champions, Reggie Ragland, 6'2", 252, former top pick out of the University of Alabama.
I see he's in.
Big Mike.
I'm with you. He's in.
I think with his pass rushing ability to go with Davis, and he has improved cover skills over the guys that's already on the roster, I think he's already gonna stay in Detroit. I mean, they wouldn't sign a big name like that if they weren't gonna keep him. Now here's a tweener. He is can play safety and linebacker. Jalen Reeves-Maybin, 6'2", 230.
Ooh. It's not extension, but I'm going to say he's in because, like you say, he's versatile and he has good speed.
Right. Mike, what you got?
You know, Mike?
I'm on the borderline with that, man. I've expected a lot of Reeves-Maybin the last two seasons. You know, I've done that. I really don't know. That's the one guy I really don't know.
Okay. I will say this. I will give him the nod. And the reason why I do that is that he found his niche the last couple of seasons playing special teams. He has a lot of special teams tackles. And with his speed, he can definitely find his niche on those coverage teams on special teams. So that's why I give him the nod. Okay. Next up, a guy. He's new to the team as well. Christian Sam, 6'2", 240.
Out.
Mike?
Yeah, out. He's out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't even know this guy. I'll tell you this. He may have been a depth signer or somebody. You know, sometimes they sign players just for the offseason, if it's for camp. So I think he'll be one of those guys to be cut. All right, next up, the big fella out of the University of Hawaii, Jelani Tavai, 6 foot, 250.
In.
Okay, he's definitely in.
Yeah, he's definitely in. And he really showed up Jared Davis last season, even when Jared Davis was healthy. I mean, and even Eric Schlitt of LionsWire.com, if he released his projected depth chart for the Lions, and he had Tavai above Jared Davis.
Oh, yeah. Tavai, he plays the hole. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Unlike Davis, who runs around the hole, he fills the gap. He says the guy with his inside shoulder, and he maintains leverage, man. I like
him. All right. So, last guy up we have. I don't know who this guy is either. He looked like he's maybe another special teams or a depth guy. Jason Cambina, 6'1", 235.
I'm going to say he's in by default because Patricia liked him last year.
Okay. What you got, Mike?
I'm just going to have to say, I don't even know, bro.
Yeah. If Patricia likes him and he's on the team because of Patricia, that may be a reason why he's in. The only way he might be out was because of the two big name free agents that came in with late, with Elijah Lee and Reggie Ragland. And Lee definitely is a special teamer. He played on that special teams for the 49ers last year. So I think he may have an edge over Cambina on the squad. All right. Okay. So, all right. That's what we got on our linebackers in Detroit. So now we're going to play a little game here on the Die Hard Den podcast. Thank you for tuning in, listening here on the podcast, either Apple or iTunes or however you listen to the podcast, or if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook. Thank you for watching. Hit the share button, hit the like button. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to play a game called Hell Yeah or Hell No. So I'm going to read a statement for Mike and my man Shani, and they're going to say, hey, if it's good, they're going to say hell yeah. If it's bad, they're going to say hell no. Nah. And they're going to tell me why they feel that way. All right, you ready, fellas?
Yeah.
Go,
all right. So first up, DeAndre Swift will win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Hell yeah.
Hell no.
Okay.
But I'm not saying hell no because of the talent. I say hell no because we got a stable and we're going to do it by
committee. Okay. I like that. All right. Next up, Matthew Stafford will win the NFL MVP.
If you said comeback player of the year, I'll say hell yeah. But I really say hell no to that one because he won't have the numbers because he doesn't have a running game. He has to put up 5,000 yards this year.
Okay, Mike.
Hell no. Nah.
Okay. What you got? What's your reason?
I just kind of unsure about where the offense is going.
Okay.
I see it going more of a West Coast type system,
mm-hmm.
more of a run first and play action stuff like that. So the numbers could be better, image wise, but I just don't know.
Okay. All right. Next up, the Lions win the NFC North.
Hell yeah.
All right. Okay. Next up.
Yeah.
Jeff Okuda makes the Pro Bowl in his rookie season.
It better be a hell yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He's talking all that shit about Michigan, so he better back it up. You know?
Right.
Throw him highball on Twitter.
I mean, I'm gonna say hell yeah, just because the Lions secondary looks pretty good, and that's usually the strength of a Patriot Patricia type defense. So I'm gonna say hell yeah.
All right, next up, T.J. Hockenson has a breakout season.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, hell yeah.
We draft him eighth overall. He's better, you know.
right. All right.
So here's a tough one. Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn get another year, even if the Lions don't make the playoffs.
It's all contingent. If they win 10, 9, 10 games, just miss it, hell yeah. They go 4-12. Hell no. So,
I'm gonna say hell yeah. They'll be around. I mean, I just don't see them going and winning 6 or 7 games. I see at least an 8-8 season. So I gotta say hell yeah.
Okay. All right. Next up, the Lions will have 2 1,000 yards receivers in 2020.
I'm going to say hell no, because the running game is going to be strong. And we're going to have 1,000 yard receiver, but still potent passing game.
Exactly. I agree with Sean. Darrell Bevell, his offense does not call for 2,000 yard receivers.
Okay. All right. Last one for this segment. The Lions will have a running back that will run for 1,000 yards this season.
I'm going to say hell no, because we got a three-headed monster between Swift, Kerryon, and Bo. I think they don't get to share carries. I think they'll all get at least 700 yards or more apiece this season. So that's why we won't have 1,000, because we've got 3 studs in the backfield if they stay healthy.
I'm gonna say hell no, but man, if Kerryon can't stay healthy, it'll be a hell yeah.
Okay.
So it just depends on Kerryon's health.
All right. So Kerryon's health definitely contingent on if we have a 1,000 yard receiver. Excuse me, running back or not. I agree with those sentiments. I definitely look at if Kerryon cannot stay healthy, and that makes Swift the primary back, I think he can run for 1,000 yards. If the line holds up and we have a good blocking scheme, I agree with that.
And if both Scarborough's carries too, you don't think about Big Bo or Bo. Two bows.
Here he go with this daggone Bo Benchwiser. that's his dude right there, dude. You better not say that bad about Bo Benchwiser.
Okay. The best run block in college football when he came out.
You better not say nothing bad about that, Bo. You're going to have Shawnee J to deal with.
Okay.
All right. That was hell yeah or hell no. Hey, you're right here listening to the Die Hard Den podcast or watching on Twitter or Facebook. Hit the share button. Hit the like button. And now it is time for what we usually call 2 points conversing, but we're going to call it a field goal this week. We're going to talk about some various topics around the NFL and the Lions. So first up, the NFL, like I said in the opening, gave the go-ahead for team facilities to open up with local guidelines for COVID-19. But the Lions, Michigan's order says they cannot open up until the 28th of May, because that's when their stay-at-home order ends. But the only people that's allowed in the facilities is really staff. The players aren't allowed unless they're getting treatment because of an injury, or these individuals were there rehabbing prior to the virus. So what do you guys think about the activities allowed at the team facilities going forward right now?
Mike, you go first. You're our guest.
I'm glad the NFL is taking I'm glad Michigan is taking precautions, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I just don't want nobody else, no other team, getting to their facilities and getting to practice and getting to understand their team's concepts before the Lions. We need all the extra time we can get.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not in favor.
I think it's a fairness rule. I think I hear what you're saying. If all the teams aren't allowed to be in their facilities with the players at the same time, it creates a competitive imbalance around the league. Because if you have one team that's able to practice and the other teams aren't able to practice, so say if the Lions are able to practice and the Bears, which I don't really care about them, but it's just a matter of fairness. If they're not allowed to practice, that's not fair to them.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I get with you on that, but hopefully, say Tampa Bay is man, them guys been practicing for about a whole month now. They've been working out for a month.
right, exactly.
Brady had them boys down there, and since he got on the floor, he been throwing on those guys. So, but it's a kind of thing where you know you see a lot of the. I see a lot of players doing that now where, you know, they're driving and meeting each other and, you know, working out. You see it with the Steelers. You see it with the Lions, with Stafford and those guys working out in Georgia. One thing I will say, the governor of Pennsylvania was a little pissed off at Big Ben. Now, it's not Lions related, but this is the, you know, we talk about things around the league. You know, Big Ben... You know, he said he wasn't going to throw up. He wasn't going to get his haircut or a beard trim until he can able to throw a football. And he went out there and was throwing a football to his teammates. Here he is in the barbershop getting a haircut. And the governor, Tom Wolf, went off because he was like, man, I don't care who you are. You're not supposed to be in barbershops. And that area that he got his haircut had not been cleared to reopen for barbershops from COVID-19. So, I mean, Big Ben stepping on it. I mean, I understand he's excited about being able to throw a football, but, you know, you still got to follow the rules, man. There's one thing, man, you definitely can still get sick out there. COVID-19 has not gone away.
Right.
And looking at Michigan, I mean, Michigan is the third highest rate of COVID-19 cases in the country. It's right behind New York and California.
I lost my auntie to it.
Yeah. I mean, but there's a significant gap because of the population, but Michigan is still third in cases, diagnosed cases of COVID. So, I mean, you have to be safe. And I think the Lions hopefully will be safe and make good judgment calls on the COVID-19 front. So next up, I'm going to put up a graphic here, and the NFL has introduced some expansions to the Rooney rules. All right. So one thing they did table, and this was on the table for a possible adaption to the Rooney rule, was that they were going to give teams extra draft picks and extra better draft positioning if they hired a minority coach. For me, I think that's a slap in the face of a minority coach. He should get hired on his merits, not because he's going to get a higher draft pick or more draft picks. What do you guys think about that part of the Rooney rule being tabled?
It sounds like a good idea. Yeah, you want to try and get teams to hire more black coaches. But like I said, you know, teams might just give token interviews to more black coaches, just get some extra draft picks, if I understand the rules right. Mm-hmm. And or just hire a puppet black coach and actually somebody else is running the team so they get those higher draft picks. So there are some question marks, some loopholes. So I agree with you. I want to see a black coach get hired, yes, but based on his own merit, not because you'll get some extra draft picks.
Right. What you got, Mike?
Yeah, man. I don't like the rule just because there's a lot of black coaches that are qualified, well overqualified, that haven't gotten jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just can predict it just being a whole lot of senseless hiring
right
of people who aren't qualified just so they can be like, oh, look, see, these guys are going to need positions, but they weren't qualified.
Yeah.
Knowing that there are coaches that are qualified, but those may not be the coaches that they want to bring in.
Right.
I think it's going to water down the pool and make the minority coaches look inferior when in fact they're actually, you know, on the same level.
Right. Now, one thing that some of the changes that they did implement, and we'll kind of go over those right quick. Now, the NFL requires that clubs must interview at least two external minority candidates for head coaching signings and at least one external candidate for any coordinator job. So they have to look outside their organization to interview minority candidates. Now, if you look at what was the defensive coordinator we had under Caldwell? Terrell Austin. Yeah, Austin was interviewed after Caldwell was fired, but he was still part of the, you know, part of the organization. They hadn't got rid of him yet, so he hadn't was hired. I think it was a token interview. Myself, I just think the Lions were like, okay, you're here, we're interviewing you. Just say we filled our quota for interviewing a minority candidate. So the league said, hey, no, you're gonna knock it off. You're gonna interview a viable candidate that is outside of your organization. So, I mean, I think that the teams were just kind of just, what do you call that, going through the motions by interviewing someone they already had on staff.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
No chance of getting a job.
Right. So the next up is, and these aren't all the rule changes, but these are the kind of the pertinent ones. So teams must interview one external minority candidate for senior football operations and general manager jobs, and that includes the teams and the NFL league offices. So they must also include minorities and or female applicants for senior level positions, including club presidents. So they're making
it a point for that job.
They're making it a point where you have to have inclusive interview processes. Now, would that fix the hiring of non-minorities? No. Because I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes people hire people who look like them. And right now, there's no minority owner except for one in the NFL. And that's a gentleman down in Jacksonville.
Chad, what's his name?
Khan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, all right. And the third one, last one we're going to cover is after conclusion of the regular season through March the 1st, clubs are prohibited from denying an assistant coach from the opportunity to interview with a new team for a bona fide offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, or special teams coordinator positions. So that was one of the big thing that was kind of holding some of the minority candidates back. So if you have a good coordinator, the teams were not allowed them to interview elsewhere.
Right.
So
I don't know, man. So
say you have Eric Bieniemy out there in Kansas City, and a job comes open, but Kansas City wants to keep him on staff. They can just say, "Hey, no, you can't interview somewhere." And that's a way to keep someone from interviewing or getting a job, because you don't want to let them go and give them the ability to at least interview for a job. So that's a big change in my opinion.
Yes, it is. I think
there should be like a little adjustment to that rule. I think your team has to be eliminated. Like, your season has to be over.
Yeah, it says a bona fide. So bona fide is an absolute opening that they can go and interview for. It can't be a co-coordinator. It can't be a co-head coach. It has to be a bona fide head coach or coordinator position. It has to be open. For any exceptions, they have to contact the league office and talk to the commissioner for any exceptions outside of those positions. Right. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
it may help more minorities. I'm for it.
Yeah, I think if it helps the process, because if you look at the league, you know, 75% of the NFLs are is minorities, you know. So, and you telling me that you have all these minority players, but you don't have the minority aren't qualified to coach them. I just don't think that's right.
No, me either.
I just don't think that's right. And it's about hiring people based on their qualifications, if they're qualified, and not just because of the fact that that's who you want or the next new hot thing. Like I will say this. I was a little upset at the Arizona organization. I think Steve Wilks, you know, with the talent he had around him, did a decent job his first season out there in Arizona. He got one season. And now he's replaced by a guy who had a losing record in college. Cliff Kingsbury wasn't a great coach at Texas Tech. So what made him more qualified to come and take that team over from a guy who was established in the league already?
They like his offense, you know, style of offense. They want the same thing out there, I guess.
I mean, we'll see if it works out. I mean, the fresh new hot thing isn't always the the way to go, because sometimes those things fizzle out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, but they got DeAndre Hopkins too, so
I will say this: that was a definitely good pickup for them. I don't know what O'Brien was up thinking about out there in Houston. Let him go. All right. So next up, we're gonna talk about two players in the Lions came out in the media really supporting Coach Patricia, Danny Amendola, and Trey Flowers. Now, there's no really surprise that these two former Patriots came out and spoke on his behalf, but they came out, I guess this was after all of the Slay and Glover Quinn saying how Patricia was when he first came to the team and how he really broke the, I will say, the continuity or the confidence of the team in his first camp. So what do you guys think about Amendola and Trey Flowers saying, hey, you know, he's our coach, he's a good guy?
I'm glad that someone stood up for Patricia, because it was looking bad there for a while. He had former players. You had Slay, you had Nino out there in Seattle. You had Glover Quinn. You had guys who got cut, complaining, you know, bashing Patricia all over social media. I'm glad somebody came up and stood up for the guy. See, listen, he's not as bad as you think. Yeah, he's rough around the edges, but he's improved, and he's a really good coach. And now he got the backing, he got to show results, he got to play for him, he got to win for him. You know, that's why Boston will be former Patriots in. Hopefully, they'll bring us some Patriot wins and Super Bowl titles along with them.
All right. What you got, Mike?
You know what? At first, I was like, man, Patricia got to go. I was like, man, he can't prove people. Like, and then, you know, I read what they said, man, and then it's like, have we became that soft in the NFL and as a society where coaches can't yell at players and talk to them derogatory no more? Because that's kind of, I don't know, you know, that's kind of how I grew up playing football.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if coaches have lost that, you know, then how are you supposed to coach your team? I mean, I'm not saying that you have to do that necessarily, but if you can't get a little reckless with your language towards your players, then, I mean, what are you there for?
Well, I get what you're saying, but I'll give you one example of a coach who didn't do that and was successful, and that's Coach Dungy. I mean, you look at Coach Dungy and look at his tree of the guys who came behind him, like Jim Caldwell. I mean, of course, Caldwell had his mean streak. And so, I mean, I'm not saying these guys can't be tough, but, you know, they were respectful. You know what I'm saying? They knew they had grown men on their team.
Right.
And I will say, you know, do I agree with everything that Matt Patricia did in his first season, coming in kind of hard, coming in hot? I understand the concept. I was in the military, and it's always easier to come in hard and then kind of chill, you know, taper it off, you know, come in with a hard charger and want to set the tempo for your leadership style. It's easy to do that and to kind of let off of that than it is to come in soft and then try to get hard and, you know, try to be a motivator. You know, then you kind of lose credibility doing it that way. But I will say this, in defense of Patricia, players did say that his second season was different than his first season, and he made a conscious effort to improve the way he treated people in his coaching style his second season in the NFL. Now, with the injuries and everything like that, that didn't make it for a successful season. I mean, we all know what the record was. 3-12-1 isn't great. But, you know, at least he had a better control of the locker room, you know, and the way that the players were treated on that team. So, all right. So, last up, we're going to talk about is my man, Kerryon Johnson, getting trolled by fans on Twitter and Instagram. I find it kind of funny. So basically, if you guys don't know what was going on out there, so there are all these videos of DeAndre Swift working out with Stafford and then, you know, doing these workouts. And then a lot of the pictures of Kerryon Johnson, he's with his girlfriend, they're on the beach or, you know, they're doing whatever. And fans are trolling Kerryon. That's why you're going to lose your job. You know, he's there. He's going to, you know, you're going to be out. And Kerryon's like, well, just because of the fact that I don't post the pictures of it, don't mean I'm not working out. What do you guys think about that situation where the fans trolling Kerryon Johnson?
Mike, you first.
Yeah. You know, first of all, I think he's got, you know, hopefully he take it all with a grain of salt, you know, because they just fans, you know, talking on social media. So you both know how that goes. But I mean, you know, it could be, you know, he's just posting those pictures and he's working hard, or it could be that he's just chilling. And right now DeAndre Swift just getting to the NFL and his quarterback is from his alma mater, so he wants to get it right now. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see a lot of DeAndre Swift. All his videos, he's a rookie, breaking into the league, he's trying to get better. The quarterback is where he's from, so that's encouraging for him to get it. So he's in focus right now. You know, like, he wants to make his mark in the NFL. So, you know, I don't really not carry on, for not doing it then, but, you know. Right. As long as he comes in ready.
I feel you. Shawty J. Yeah.
Well, as long as he's taking care of business, with, you know, man can have a personal life. But, you know, people do that on purpose to make a point. See, like, Kerryon, he thinks he's a star. He has nothing to worry about, where DeAndre is working day and night with Stafford and Galley and others down there in Georgia. I wish Kerryon was along with them, working out with those guys. But like I said, if he's working out, I hope he's telling the truth and hope he's ready, because he got a young, hungry guy who wants his job, and Bo Scarborough wants that job too. That's why I like three youngster running backs. That's why they stay healthy. We won't have 1,000-yard rusher. They all have about 700, 800 yards apiece, which is just good.
Right. Now, looking at Kerryon usually works out down at the University of Auburn. Of course, you know, of course, we all know that those campuses are closed. So I don't doubt that he's working out. You know, he doesn't, you know, in the picture, he doesn't look out of shape. You know, he looks like he's in pretty good shape. So I think he's working out. I just think that he's not posting it on social media. And he's, you know, he's got his Instagram model girlfriend down there, wherever he is working out. And that's just maybe his priority to post pictures of that instead of him working out. I'm not really sweating it. Really, to me, be honest with you, I want him to kind of heal, you know, to make sure he's healed up all the way from last season. So if he needs to take a little more time to, you know, not work out as hard to make sure his body is healed from last season's injuries, I'm all for it. But to be honest with you, it's the off season. It ain't none of my business what he's doing right now. You know what I'm saying? You know, if they were in camp or something like that, okay, yeah, if they were OTAs or something like that, okay, that's fine. But you know, he's on his own time, you know.
Well, just don't get arrested like those other NFL players.
Man, that is so crazy with DeAndre Baker. And man, you know what, though? Sometimes you get this stuff like this and you have those auto hands. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man. I mean, and you do see that often with, you know, players getting in trouble, you know, during the off season where they have all this time on their hands, or, you know, it's now. I will say this. I don't know the particulars of any of those cases as far as is it true, is it not true. But within a week, it was a whole bunch. Like, and you look at the time frame where normally the teams would be in OTAs right now. You know, you see a lot of guys, you know, these guys within a week, what, three or four guys getting arrested? I mean, it makes you wonder, you know, would that be happening if the guys were in OTAs right now?
Right, they don't know what to do themselves.
Yeah, man.
You
know?
I mean, you can't be out there thugging, though.
Nah, you can't be doing that, man. You can't be doing that, man.
You can't be out there sticking up cards. You mad.
Nah, you can't be doing that, man. You definitely can't be doing that, man. Hey,
everybody,
man.
Get going your pockets right now.
Yeah, run them. Yeah, it can't be running people's pockets out there on a whimsy, man. That ain't cool.
Hey,
we gang banging at breakfast. You know what I'm saying? All right. All right. Hey, thank you, my man, Mike. We appreciate you coming over and doing the podcast with us. So, tell the people where they can find you on social media and how they can find your podcast.
Oh, yeah. Just go to OMG's Lions Talk on YouTube. I'm on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Follow me, subscribe, OMG's Lions Talk. And when the season starts, we will be doing tailgate and cooking, because I am a sous chef, by the way. And we're gonna mix in the cooking, grilling and smoking with the podcast. So it's going to be something different for y'all.
All right. So my man, Shani J, tell the people how they can find you on social media.
You can find me. I use Facebook. My name is Sean Jennings, the most handsome Sean Jennings you find on Facebook. I'm also the head administrator of Detroit Lions Truest Fan Group. We're all part of that group. If you want to join, just send me a request. I'd be happy to add you.
All right. Well, you can find me on my personal pages at Curtis Steele 14 on Instagram and Twitter. That's CURTISSTEELE 14. You can follow the show right here on YouTube at our YouTube channel, Die Hard DM Podcast, Facebook, Die Hard DM Podcast. You can definitely follow us on Twitter at Die Hard DM Pod C1. On Instagram, it's at die_hard_den_podcast. And if you want to email the show, it's diehardden_podcast@gmail.com. And once again, we want to thank my man Michael Jones of ONG is Lions Talk for coming on the show. So any parting words for the people out there, Mike?
Yeah, man, just be safe out there, man, and we can't wait for the football season.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Shani J?
Yeah, like, might be safe. This coronavirus ain't over yet. And everybody have a safe and happy holiday weekend.
All right. Hey, again, we thank you for tuning in to the Die Hard Den Podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, hit the share button, hit the like button, and we appreciate you listening to our show and joining us for Michael Jones and my man, Shani J. This is Kurt Steele of the Die Hard DM Podcast, and we are out.